Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse 25. When the disciples in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on water. So Jesus started coming to them walking on water. All right, walking on the sea. Now, notice this, when the disciples did what? Saw him. Walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straight away, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, which was the right thing, which is what we preach, that when you want to go out and believe God, get a word from God before you step out. That is, hear what God has to say. And Peter said, "If it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus gave Peter the word by saying, "Come." And based on that, Peter got down off the ship and started walking on water to go to Jesus. Now, if you are walking to go somewhere, you'll be looking at where you're going to. So if you want to go out of this building, you take your eyes off everybody and you start looking at the door and you start heading towards the place. Are you following me? You don't start going somewhere, looking somewhere else. So they were going to Jesus, so he was looking at Jesus. And so long as he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on water. As he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on water. The power of God was in operation in his life so long as his eyes made contact with Jesus. But the Bible says in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous. Now, the wind was always boisterous. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind, then it produced something inside him and he became afraid. You see, when you start looking at the wrong evidence, it changes your emotional state. You can start getting scared. You start getting depressed and discouraged. And the minute his emotional state changed, he began to sink. He didn't just drop, he began, which means the power of God stopped working in his situation, right? And he began to sink. And the Lord now stretched out his hand. He said, "Lord, save me." God stretched, Jesus stretched out and picked him up and said, "Oh, you're a little faith." And what he was saying was that, "Look, I'm going soon. When I'm no longer here, how are you going to do this stuff? Because I won't be able to pick you up." And they understood it, that once Jesus goes here and he goes to heaven, the way to get his power in operation is that once you hear the word, and that's the starting point of faith. Level one is that you heard from heaven. All right? And you hear the word and you step out on that word and you start confessing that word. That in order for the Spirit to be able to work in you, and for the Spirit, all right, to keep the power of God in operation, to keep the supernatural power going on the inside, your eyes must be constantly upon Jesus Christ. Your eyes must be constantly upon the written word of God. Once your eyes are constantly upon the word, it changes your emotional state. You'll start getting insight into deeper insight. You'll start rejoicing. You'll start getting a new lease of life as you're looking at the word. Sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces into your soul. You get happy over what you are reading. And the power of God starts raising you up. Which means when they got afraid, the things started going down. When you do it right, the power of God, all right, begins, right, to take you up. So the transference, we want to see this, occurs as you see. Which means once you look at something, right, that's how the power starts getting transferred. Now, let me give an example here. Go to John chapter 3. There's a scripture we all know. John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, this is the most popular scripture now in born-again circles. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in his Son should not perish, but have everlasting life. But really and truly, where did this come from? We just quote it and say, well, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so you know, get born again. But what's the meaning of this scripture? To understand this scripture, you have to read from verse 13. It says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, this is what he's talking about. Even so, which means in the same manner, for the same purpose, in the same way, under the same conditions, in that manner, even so, must the Son of Man be lifted up. He is not talking about the cross here, because, all right, he's talking about Moses that lifted up the serpent. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that his Son might be treated the same way Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, the Son might be lifted up in that way, that whosoever believeth, so he will show what it means to believe, does not perish, but have eternal life. Now, how did Moses lift up the serpent? Go to Numbers chapter 21. How did he do it? Numbers and chapter 21, verse 4. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, and said, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? In other words, today, as they journeyed, many are speaking, it looks like we are dying in the wilderness. Are you following what I'm saying here? No bread, no water. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so must Jesus Christ be lifted up. That whosoever believeth on him, no matter what is going on, will not perish. But in the midst of it, you will obtain eternal life. Do you understand it? So as he lifted, the fire gone out there and started biting, all right, all the folks there, all right, and he tells them this here, and he says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord. Tell him to take away the serpent. And Moses prayed for the people. Change the change. And the Lord said unto Moses, make the fiery serpent, this is Jesus now, set him upon the pole, and it shall come to pass. This will be their experience, that whosoever, everyone that is beaten, when he looketh upon the serpent, anybody that looks upon Jesus, anybody who goes to Jesus and says to Jesus, look at what is going on all around. Can you give me your own evidence and quicken me here? And Jesus provides the evidence for your faith, for your business to still grow in these times. And he provides the evidence and shows you, all right, the written word of God. And he says, when there's a casting down, you will say there's a lifting up. And it shows you evidence there that 1,000 might close down on your left, 10,000 on your right, it will not come near you. And it begins to provide the evidence. And it says, take your eyes off everything. All right, don't go on Facebook and start reading complaints and rantings. Don't go on social media and start reading how bad something happened. So are you following what I'm saying here? There is enough people are posting and they're grunting and saying things, posting everywhere. You keep your eyes on that, you begin to sink. Do you get what we're saying here? No matter what you are confessing, if you fix your eyes on that, the power that you enacted with your confession stops working when you start looking at the wrong stuff. When you start reading, all right, newspaper that tells you that it's all over. Are you following what I'm saying here? Take your eyes momentarily off that and test it. And say, I'm going to keep my eyes on the evidence of the word of God. I'm going to keep my eyes on the scriptures there. All right? And he says, when you do that, then the Holy Spirit begins to administer power. That Spirit begins to administer power. What are we saying? We are to keep our eyes on the Word and be affected by that which our eyes are seeing. To be occupied by what we see naturally so that it affects our mood is to reverse the condition that God has laid down for our results. As you start beholding with your eyes there, he says the power that raised up Jesus from the dead begins to work in your life. So we have our confessions that we're declaring. But then with that, we are now beholding. We are now looking at the Word of God, right? We make our confessions. And this is what God was showing me. He said, then open the scriptures after you pray and read those scriptures again. Let them behold those scriptures. The Spirit of God will begin to minister through those scriptures to you. The Spirit of God will begin to do something. Power will start coming in. He says that's how the change begins to come. That's how the change begins to come. The Spirit of God, all right, how do you touch the hem of his garment? You are saying that if I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. You are making your confession. You are making, but where is the point at which I make contact with the power of God? It is as you sit down and you are reading those scriptures, looking at those scriptures again and again, and those scriptures begin to minister new life. That's where the change begins. Let me tell you this. Nobody understands this movement like Reverend Emeko. I remember when I went to meet him and I asked him a question about WAVBEC. He said, I said, the vision, he said, I get it. 2013, he said, I know what you are trying to say. He said, what you're saying, there are two streams in this country. One, people will pray and check on the outside to see whether I'm praying. He said, the second, they will pray. And after they pray, they will look into the Word of God. And he says, what they understand is as they sit with that Word and behold that Word and start seeing things in Scripture, that Word begins to change them. What they are seeing in the Word of God starts appearing in their lives, which means what the prayer is answered as you are looking. He said, God, when will you here, lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death, which means open my eyes. So you start looking at the Word. Let me tell you, all of us can hear come, all right? We can all hear the same message. And I'll close with this. Hearing is at the lowest level in this faith walk. We can all hear come, but it's as we start looking into the Word of God during that time, we start seeing different things. People start seeing things inside the Word. They start reading in between the lines. The mysteries, all right, start coming out. God begins to minister things to them. Your eyes, all right, begin to see things inside the Word. So we start speaking and affirming the truth we have seen in the Word of God, holding fast our confession and our declaration, right? Knowing that he that raised up Jesus shall raise us up and shall present us with you. So we are confessing with this knowledge that he that raised up Jesus will match these confessions that we are making out of our lips and fulfill these things that we're doing. So Abraham understood the power of God starts working. I begin to rise when my eyes are on the things that are not seen. The power of God stops working when I take my eyes. My confession stops producing when I take my eyes and I place it on those other things. So we need to have times, right, watches, where we sit down and we see the Word of God and we read those scriptures, and God can add line upon line, precept upon precept, and show you. But you must have set times, all right? You can practice this thing I'm saying when you get home. There are many things you have written. You might have written last year. Open those things, start reading them. Life will start coming out. You will know that there are many things you know that are not operational inside your life. Scriptures you have forgotten. That when you read those scriptures, the minute your eyes make contact with those scriptures, something enters into you. All right? Encouragement begins to come. The point is you let them depart from your eyes. The point is there must be a continuous eye contact. That is why Jesus said the light of the body is the eye. If the eye be single, if your eye said you can't serve two masters, you can't look at God and then look at the other. Your eyes must be only on the scriptures. If your eye is single, he said your whole body will be full of light. He talked about let your light so shine that men might see your good works and give glory. God working in your life. Your eyes must be on the scriptures. So you read the scriptures, it ministers. In the afternoon, go back to those scriptures. Look at those scriptures again. Let them minister to you. All right? In the evening, go back. Before you sleep, confess those things. Right? Write the vision, make them plain. Confess them. He says we use great plainness of speech. Right? Jesus said when the blind man came, he said, what will that I should do for you? Which means your confession sets the standard for God's activity in the Spirit of God. But it is when you are beholding the scriptures that the Spirit of God has the room there to begin to move. And if you see something that hits you hard, go back to the evidence. Because if you allow it to change the way you feel, then you begin to sink in that walk. The power of God stops operating. All right? We can measure this thing here. You look back into the Word of God, the power of God, all right, begins to come. So you do that. For example, if I've seen this congregation, 25,000, if I finish this service, I must go back, right, to the evidence of the scripture and stay there and allow those things to minister to me again. And I consistently do that and minister to me and change, all right, my emotional state concerning it. That is how the Spirit begins to administer. That is how power, all right, begins, all right, to come right into our beings. And that's how the changes begin to come, all right? The first level is that we heard. Didn't you hear what Job said? That's the first level. He said, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. He said, but now with my eyes I see you. That's the next level. That is why James said, do not be a hearer only. Which means you can just be hearing and hearing and hearing. That's the first level, a hearer only. He said, but be a doer. How do you become a doer? He said, whosoever looketh. Which means to start doing, we move from hearing only to looking. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and doesn't break eye contact with it and continues therein, looking, he said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That is, the Spirit of God will start producing in the life of that person that which his eye is making contact with. My friends, I'm telling you, when you take the word and you start looking at it, God begins to minister to you. You start seeing. He says, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of the word. Don't just go to hearing, move to seeing. From seeing, look upon it. To look means you are not distracted. That is the only thing you are looking at. You are no longer looking at. This is all you are looking at. And when you are looking at that, that image that you are seeing there will be produced. That's why Jesus said, you have not heard my voice, neither have you seen my form. Two things. You hear and you see. So there are things when you go and pray, those things you saw, you pray those things. That's watch and pray. Now, you pray those things. It shows you something in the word. You pray those things. You pray those things. You pray those things. That's prophetic prayer now. You are now praying prophetically. All right? So, for example, for Wavbeck, he gives me scriptures. From now till the Wavbeck, those scriptures, I'll be looking at them 3 times a day. I'll be seeing things, what I saw yesterday, I did not see today. What I will see tomorrow, because the light. And then my prayers, I start praying those things. I start praying those things that I'm seeing. It shows me more. Pray these things. It shows me more. Pray those things. You start praying in specific. That's, you are now, so that your hands can handle. So your hands can handle. So your hands can handle. Let me close by showing you something with Abraham. This was the law of Abraham. He taught it to Jacob. He said, Jacob, you know how I gave birth to Isaac? He said, listen, once your eyes are on the evidence that God has produced, your body no longer counts. So Jacob understood that. So when they brought the animals, he said, once the animals are looking at something, their body no longer will determine what they produce. It's a law. Look at Genesis chapter 15. It's a simple thing. Break your day 3 times a day, look. You say, no, I move by the Spirit. Oh, God, nothing will happen. Anybody that says, I'm just in the flow of the Holy Ghost, nothing is happening. Our pastor, then, Olubi John, said, anybody that says I pray as led by the Spirit does not pray. Because Jesus, the Bible says, as his custom was. He had where he prayed and when he prayed. If you don't have where you pray and when you pray, oh, God, you don't pray. When you pray is when we call prayer meeting in church. I know. It's like that. Because you must have where you pray and when. How can life be like that? All right, let God to move us led. So we go out in the sun. You say, well, we are. It's as I'm led now. The sun comes out when it wants to come out and comes down when it wants to come down. Isn't it God that created the sun? Why is he organized? It's as we are led. So you get out in the morning as you are driving. Suddenly it's dark. And then you are walking, you are dressed, like suddenly winter starts, it's very cold. You run back home, yeah, it's winter. As you change what you are wearing, then summer comes again. It's as we are led. Can you do anything? You know, we talk about God. I don't know where we got this thing in Pentecostal movement that God is just flows like, you know, hey, God, that's God. Hey, I think we say, the wind blew everywhere this says, so we follow that scripture. God is organized. All right? Look at what happened. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield. Now, hear what Abraham said. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing? You see what he said? Seeing. This is what I'm seeing. I go childless, seeing. And then Abraham said in verse 3, behold, which means look, thou hast given me no seed. And then, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that come from thy bowels. Now, you know how God changed Abraham? Verse 5, and he brought him forth and said, look towards the heaven. Start looking. Can you number the stars? If thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed. He had heard, but when God said, look, he changed. Kenneth Copeland was 80 last week. I saw something that shocked me. Jerry Savelle's daughter put up, said, I went to see him. The first thing he showed, put the photograph. First thing he did, was he took me to his vision board and said, look at the future. Look at what I'm reaching for. At 80, you still have vision board. 80. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where people have folded up life and say, what we have done is what has happened. 80, oh, go and look at the man. He looks young. Man looks 60, 65. 80, his wife doesn't look that. You know why? Because God can show you in the Bible that some people started at 75. I gave Abraham 72. You see, you've read all these books that say that, you know, as a young man, your vision by 22. Listen, 75. That's the evidence God gave you. Look at your own evidence. Are you following what I'm saying? Keep your eyes on your own. Leave other people's race. Run the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus. What's the evidence he has given you? Look at that. Don't run any other person's race. Are you following what I'm saying? Keep before your eyes. Move with that. I went to speak to the platform 2025, and I read something now to them I want to read out. I think I read it out to someone I'm teaching. And this is the key. All right? And I told them this, to success in anything that you are doing. This is the key. I heard an elderly Englishman say this. He said, you succeed by confining your attention and employing your energies about the business that you take at heart. He was a Methodist preacher. Were you to pause to scan the countenance and attire of every passerby or step to the window whenever any unusual sound might chance be heard in the street, or pause to give audience to every gossip of the town that might stroll upon your premises, your affairs must speedily fall into confusion and you fall behind the pack. It is by shutting our eyes and ears to matters not pertinent to which we are employed, and so pursuing our work with systematic and undistracted diligence, that we make progress in matters of handicraft. He said that is what you transfer to the spiritual to get results. Are you following what I'm saying? Once you know this way I'm going for, to God give me evidence, bury your head on that. Everything else, let it go. All right? If you're believing God for something, your business, and the newspapers are telling you something that is affecting you, stop reading the newspaper. You hear what I said? If you read something, your mood changes, and we see what happened. I don't know. Okay, it's what I read in the newspaper. Do you know that kind of thing? It's what I just read in the newspaper. Don't. All right? If the doctor said there's no chance for you to live, why are you going back there? They've said it's finished. So go to the doctor that says you have a chance, you can make it. Do you understand this? And follow Jesus, and you will see that he healed all of every manner of sickness and disease. All, not some, of every manner, every. So if the doctor said this one, Jesus so says every manner of sickness and disease. And you say, if somebody says, well, we don't know whether it's Jesus' will to heal. Well, let us ask the people that went to Jesus. The scripture says, and they carried all the sick to go and meet Jesus, which means they knew that there was no discrimination. Carry all. And when they got there, Jesus healed all. So it's not the lucky ones that got it. It's all that got it. All right? It wasn't some and then he left some. Every manner and every form of disease. Keep your eyes on that. Follow him through the paths of Nazareth. See him go to Jericho healing. Keep your eyes on that. Be confessing your healing and keep looking at that. And one day it will explode on the inside of you. But don't confess then. Say, what did you say? The thing goes zoom. It begins to sink.
Thank you for listening.